Of American history, God's providence in American history. And 2 weeks ago, we looked at the story that most people know of the story, and many know the details, but we're going through the details of the story, how God worked. It is a miracle in American history, this story of Benedict Arnold and his treason. And we're going to look at the rest of that story this morning as we started it a couple weeks ago. But just to quickly review, the American War for Independence was a long war, seven long years, I think, at least. The Americans in most of those years lost more battles than they won. And God had intervened and given them victories when it seemed like the end had come. And so one of the great battles was the Battle of Saratoga. And one of the great heroes of that battle was Benedict Arnold. And he was a very well-known and popular figure in America. And in that battle, he was wounded very seriously in the leg, but it was his quick thinking and really raw courage that helped turn the battle for the Americans that day. And as I said, he was wounded. That wound, the doctors recommended that he amputate his leg, but he refused. And so for the rest of his life, he had a very painful bullet wound in his leg. Arnold, though, he was very bold, very courageous. He was also very petty, and he was argumentative and combative with his superiors and other leaders. As the war progressed then, these character flaws caused his superiors to pass over him for promotions and commands. Washington, for his part, George Washington, for his part, understood these shortcomings, but he valued Arnold's usefulness on the battlefield, and so he used him, promoted him to major general. But after his injury, Washington put him in charge of the city of Philadelphia. As the British left Philadelphia, as they left their occupation there in Philadelphia, Washington gave him this prize, in a sense, of command of the city of Philadelphia. And then, as he healed, as he got better, Washington soon asked him to rejoin him as a top commander on the battlefield. But Arnold refused that assignment. He asked to be put instead into a much easier assignment, and that would be commanding the facility at West Point on the Hudson River. Now, West Point today is a well-known name. It's the military academy is there today. But it's a key spot on the Hudson River that really controlled much of the traffic up and down that river. And so he asked to be put in charge of that, and Washington gave him that command. Now, he had just recently married, as I said, a woman very much younger than him, and she came from a British loyalist family who opposed the Patriots. They opposed the war. And this is now seen by historians as a major part of the reason for his treason and his disastrous decision. Now, she relentlessly is hammering him about, well, they don't appreciate you, and they've passed you over with all these promotions. And as his bitterness grew about this and listening to her, and of course the constant pain in his leg, I think that attributed to some of these bad decisions, he made his decision, 1781, and his wife put him in touch with a former suitor of hers, the man who ran the British spy network, a man named Major John Andre. And so the plan unfolded, and Benedict Arnold met Andre actually in his offices at West Point. He was dressed as a civilian. And there they decided for the capture or killing of Washington, and that he would allow the British to easily take the fort and take control of West Point. The British believed that taking West Point would give them control of the Hudson, which it would have, and really end the American fight for independence, because they would split the colonies, and they would control the river, the traffic up down that river. But God began to intervene in a series of extraordinary circumstances. And first, when they met, the British battleship named Vulture that dropped off John Andre to the meeting was driven back up the river by some American gunfire. So that's important. They dropped him off, and then they had to quickly flee to up the river and couldn't wait there for him. So after Arnold had his meeting with John Andre, and remember he instructed him to put the instructions and the map in a hollow spot in a boot, Andre left then, and he had to make his way back to British territory. territory by foot. He couldn't jump back on the ship. Very important turn of events. And so the plot was set in motion, and that's where we left it 2 weeks ago. When Andre reached the British territory, reached a safe area, he ran into three men. And one of the men was actually wearing a German Hessian overcoat, so he assumed, logically, that these men were British supporters. In fact, these men, this is God's hand, these men were three American militiamen who had just escaped from a British prisoner of war camp. And they ran into Andre in the dark, him going back to British and them trying to get back to American ground. Andre, for his part, he talked too freely. He was kind of loose-lipped, and that aroused their suspicion. So they searched him twice and were about to let him leave when they thought, you know, let's search him one more time. And they searched him one more time, the third time, and it was that time they found the map and the instructions hidden in his boot. He offered them a considerable amount of money to let him go, but they refused. They wouldn't be bought or bribed. Washington later wrote this. George Washington said, "The three soldiers were offered, I am informed, a large sum of money for his release and as many goods as they would demand, but without effect. Their conduct gives him a just claim to the heartfelt thanks of their country." So the Americans tied Andre up and they marched him back to the offices of the commanding general of West Point, Benedict Arnold. Of course, assuming that he was in charge of the fort, and he would be very interested in this plot to overthrow West Point. The tension here is amazing, right? It's just amazing what's happening, and they don't know it. And so Arnold hears commotion as these men come in with this great find, this great catch, and he realizes that his plan is about to be revealed. So he quickly escapes the fort, and ironically, he finds the Vulture, the ship that dropped off Andre. He finds that ship and hides on that ship. The plot probably would have ended the battle for independence and probably would have ended in the killing of Washington, but God miraculously steps in and stops the plot. Now, this story ends that suddenly. Just suddenly, the plot is over. And many realize that maybe did Arnold get away with it? Was he never brought to justice for this great crime? And what happened to the men that were involved in this treason? Benedict Arnold escaped. He didn't have to pay for his treason. You know, where's the justice in that? And it's kind of a frustrating ending in one sense. But let me tell you the rest of the story. Within a month, General Washington had ordered John Andre be executed, and he was hung as a spy. Arnold escaped back to the British, but he wasn't exactly welcomed with open arms. Actually, the British loved John Andre, and they would have rather seen Benedict Arnold hanging from the gallows instead of Andre, and that bothered them immensely. But Benedict Arnold, for his part, was hunted for the rest of the war. He was hunted throughout the colonies. Soldiers vowed, and this is kind of humorous, but soldiers vowed to catch him and bury his leg with honors and hang the rest of him, and because that was the leg that he was actually, you know, fighting for the American cause. Eventually, he moved to London after the war, where he was never really accepted by the British. This is a great lesson, I think, to learn. No one ever trusted him again, even the British. The entire Western world knew what he had done. He and his son tried several business ventures, but they were not successful. He lived most of the rest of his life in great pain in his leg. He used a crutch until he died, and I think that pain was a constant reminder to him of his treason. In 1801, at the age of 60, he died. His last words were, "Let me die in this old uniform in which I fought my battles. May God forgive me for ever having put on another." Really a sad story of the ending of Benedict Arnold. One Massachusetts newspaper noted in his passing with one line, "In England, Brigadier General Benedict Arnold, notorious throughout the world." In popular culture, think about it. Benedict Arnold has become and is still synonymous with treason or becoming a traitor. We still use that term. Don't be a Benedict Arnold. He was a Benedict Arnold. An amazing 20 or more years later, he is still remembered for that great crime. At West Point, his name was erased from all the monuments that honor the generals of the Revolutionary War. His only monument in America is this unnamed stone at the Saratoga battlefield. There is no name on the stone. It just shows a boot. And that's the only recognition of Arnold in the entire country. And by contrast, I would say my favorite artwork of this era, and some of you have this painting in your home or in your office, is this picture of America's greatest hero. The next picture. His motivation came from a belief in an almighty God, his commitment to honor, his love for justice, and for his unwavering belief in America and its cause. Washington wrote to a lieutenant, John Lawrence, in no instance since the commencement of the war has the interposition of Providence appeared more conspicuous than in the rescue of the post and garrison at West Point from Arnold's villainous perfidy. In his general orders in September 1780, Washington declared treason of the blackest dye was yesterday discovered. General Arnold, who commanded at West Point, lost to every sentiment of honor, a public and private obligation, was about to deliver up that important post into the hands of the enemy. Such an event must have given American cause a deadly wound, would have given the American cause a deadly wound, if not a fatal stab. Happily, the treason has been timely discovered to prevent the fatal misfortune. The providential train of circumstances which led to this affords the most convincing proof that the liberties of America are the object of divine protection. When the Continental Congress learned of the events, they too saw God's hand in declaring a national day of public thanksgiving. The recent remarkable interposition of God's watchful providence in rescuing the person of our Commander-in-Chief, George Washington, and the Army from imminent dangers at the moment when treason was ripened for execution. They urged all citizens to offer up their devout and thankful acknowledgments to a mighty God. And I think we should all thank the Lord as we hear these stories for the hand of God in our nation's history. That's the picture that is my favorite of the American Revolution. And that kind of encapsulates what Washington had prayed throughout the Revolution for God's guidance and God's hand and God's will in this great epic battle. And you know, we literally sit here today because of the events in that picture, I believe. And you know, so much more that's happened, but I think that sums up how God used this time and how God intervened. And Washington realizing the importance of this moment and the freedoms and liberties that his fight represented. So I thank the Lord this morning for God's hand in the providence of our country.